love these guys.
Welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast. This is our first one, and we are here to track the Lions' journey to their first Super Bowl. My name is Bill Radford. I'm here with my friend John Drennan. We met several years ago, more than several, 51 years ago at Adrian College, and we soon discovered that we were both Detroit sports fans. Unfortunately, the Lions had not won a championship in 17 years when we met, and they haven't won one since. But we think that with the recent changes with Sheila Hamp and Chris Spielman and Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, we think that they might be on the right track, and we're going to be here to enjoy every step of the way.
Yeah, Bill, you know, you mentioned 17 years and then we met, and 51 years later, my math says that's 68 years.
Since, I was trying not to say that.
So, yeah, I remember watching the Lions on black and white TV. Their last championship was 57. I'd watched them in the 60s and remember fondly Alex Karras and Roger Brown and Joe Schmidt. And of course, so many things. Yeah, so much has happened since then. But, you know, you opened up by saying we're tracking the Lions' journey to the Super Bowl, because in spite of 68 years with lots of disappointment, obviously, you know, Bill read the names of the people leading the way, and obviously these are not the same old Lions. I know, Bill, during our podcast, we are going to share examples of the same old Lions, because anyone that's been a fan understands what that means. But this is a team that's on track for a championship. So it's exciting to be here and to be doing this podcast with you.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll be able to share it with other fans, and maybe they can send us questions and we can interact with them that way. What do you think is going on in the camp right now? I've heard a lot of buzz about different players. And one of the things that some friends have raised concern about is the contract situation with Alex Anzalone, that he's got 1 year left on his contract and he wants an extension. And the Lions, to this point, aren't signing him to an extension. So what are you hearing?
Yeah, so first of all, we're just a few days out from the Hall of Fame game, so we're going to see a lot here in a couple days, but in regard to Anzalone, I had a conversation with a Lions fan last night, really concerned that he's not getting more and so on. And I think it'll get done, Bill. I think that, you know, he's 30 years old and in that last year and wants three more years, is my understanding. My guess is maybe the Lions are looking at doing 2 years, and I think he'll end up with more money and they're just probably working it out. But my guess and my sense is he's excited to be with the Lions, as seems like all the players are, because how good they are, and that the Lions are excited to have him. But it is a business. So, you know, if they're negotiating a year or a certain amount of money, I just think it'll get done. And that kind of thing, as we all know, tends to get overblown, sometimes deservingly, but typically not.
Yeah, one thing that Brad Holmes did say is that looking down the road, they're going to have to pay the piper, so to speak, when Hutchinson's contract is up and Gibbs' contract and J-Mo and Laporta and Campbell and all these guys are going to want to be paid. So have to be wise about how they spend their money now. You don't have to look very far over to the Detroit Red Wings and see that former general manager Ken Holland spent a lot of unwise money and has really hurt the Red Wings' prospects of rebuilding. But we're here to talk about the Lions. And what I've heard is this new receiver, Tesla, is really impressing. He's catching everything. He's blocking really well. What have you heard?
Yeah, I want to talk about him. And before I do, you did mention, you know, paying all these guys. And this was never an issue for us to talk about back when you look at the roster and say, okay, we have two really good players here back in the day. We always had that, whether it was Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford. We certainly had some great Lion players, but nothing stacked up like we do now. So you're right. I mean, they're going to have to pay Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch and Penei Sewell, all the names you mentioned, Jack John Campbell, and the list goes on and on. So it's going to be interesting how they handle that going forward. But you mentioned another guy that Brad Holmes was so high on in the draft. They moved up to take Isaac Tesla. And you're right, the buzz, I follow as much as I can from training camp. The buzz is he's lighting it up, catching everything. But there's others, the buzz is that Aiden Hutchinson, pretty much everyone from the practices who gets a mic in front of him says he actually looks better now than a year ago.
Wow.
The buzz around Jamison Williams. I mean, today I heard one of the players with the mic said, just buy popcorn and sit back and get ready. Like, this is going to be a show. There's a buzz around, the new guy, the first Egyptian player to ever be brought into the NFL, just his motor and his love for the game and just how he impacts other people. I think over time, he'll be a fan favorite. But Bill, obviously a big thing that keeps coming up in regard to training camp, there's two things: loss of the two coordinators, and then Frank Ragnow's retirement. So what are they going to do at center? Who's going to be the right guard? That's what seems to be playing out. In fact, what are your thoughts on Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn both being now with different programs and the new coordinators?
Well, I think if you're going to be a successful NFL team over the long haul, those things are going to happen, and you're going to have to be smart in how you replace them. I mean, you look at teams over the years that have been good year after year, like New England and San Francisco, and to some extent the Rams, and before them, teams like Green Bay and Pittsburgh. They were always losing coordinators to other teams because, and we've actually, the Lions fell prey to that once, hiring Matt Patricia because he had worked under Bill Belichick. And what we discovered is just because you worked under Belichick didn't mean you are Belichick. So it remains to be seen how well the new coordinators fit in. But if you're a good team, with a good record consistently, your coordinators are going to move up to fill head coaching positions. Kansas City lost their offensive coordinator a few years ago, and they didn't miss a beat. They won a Super Bowl after that. So it can be done. I think the important part is that we have an all-star GM and an all-star head coach. And as long as those two men are at the top and Sheila Hamp is the owner, I think that it bodes well for the future. And let's wait and see what the coordinators are like.
Yeah, I think those are insightful comments. I remember having a conversation with you not that long ago that, well, the last two coordinators certainly did a great job. What if these two do a better job? The
Yeah.
newness. And I've been hearing again the buzz. And in fact, I followed the Detroit Lions app and listen to everything I can there. And Calvin Shepard, the new defensive coordinator, pretty much when he talks, it's good to listen. But that guy's really jazzed, and all the defensive players just think he's the best. And it just sounds like this defense is going to be hungrier and go after turnovers more aggressively than we've seen to this point. And then, Johnny Morton was with the Lions a couple years ago, then was with Denver. He's back with the Lions, but he's got an amazing resume. And so you're right. I mean, this is a program and a culture where there's people in the wings, and these guys were both in the wings. So I'm actually getting very excited and would love to see that the loss of the two coordinators turns into an actual benefit to the team.
Yeah, and it very well might. I'd like to go back to the center position. You mentioned Tate R Radlidge, who was drafted from Georgia. Was draft he didn't play guard at, or, sorry, center at Georgia. He played guard, and they moved Glasgow over to center recently. Even though they drafted, it seems, Ratledge to play center. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think Glasgow does have experience, and he might be the guy to go with early on. And Ratledge has 4 years professional experience playing guard at the University of Georgia. Said that tongue in cheek, but we all know that those major programs with NIL money and such, they might as well be, especially in big conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC. So he's had a lot of great competition at that position. He's done well, and it might be good for him to get his feet wet in the NFL, playing a position he's familiar with. But the other thought is that if you draft him to be center, you might as well stick him in there and go with it. I think either argument has merit. What do you think?
But I think they're sorting it out. You're right. I do think, and this is just from what I hear. And by the way, Bill, you and I are fans. We don't go to training camp. We're not with the media. We're not interviewing players. But what we do is take in what we can. We talk a lot. And over the years, we've actually been pretty spot on a lot of things. So this is all kind of our thoughts, and this podcast is for fans that want to get on here and talk about these things. And I think you said it right, that it seems like the story is they brought Ratledge in, seeing him as the future at center, but maybe not knowing it was this year, maybe thinking it might be. And that they know they've got Glasgow, who can play center, so they'll see how rapidly can they develop Tate Ratledge. And if it's not soon enough to win games in the NFL, maybe will be next year. So I think they're sorting it out. I am glad we've got this Hall of Fame game coming up, which adds to the preseason games, because it really gives the Lions a chance to see these young guys, especially on the offensive line, but to sort that out.
Yeah, the first game is against the Chargers, which is, as we all know, is coached now by former Michigan national championship coach Jim Harbaugh. And, we've both been fans long enough to remember Jim Harbaugh playing quarterback at Michigan and winning big games against Ohio State, and then eventually coaching here at the University of Michigan. We're both Michigan fans as well as Lions fans. Sorry, Spartan fans. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I don't expect a lot of starters from last year to play. I'd be surprised. I'd be shocked, actually, if Goff plays a down. And I don't know what's going to happen with guys like Hutchinson or Gibbs, if they're going to play at all. My inclination would be to say that they won't, but we'll just wait and see. And we'll have something to talk about for sure after the game, as we will after all the games. But I'm really looking forward to the season and reading some predictions. I tell you, I read one today that got under my skin. This particular person, or I guess it was an AI thing. They put all the information in, and AI says that Green Bay will win the division with an 11-6 record. And Detroit will be second with 10-7. I don't know why Green Bay gets so much credit every year. I mean, they were picked last year to win the division, and they came in third. I would expect them to be second this year. I don't think Minnesota will repeat their 14-3 record, but I think the Lions are going to do better than 10-7. And if they do, they'll win the division.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You said a lot of things there. Harbaugh did play in a Super Bowl coaching against his brother Harbaugh back when he was with the 49ers coaching against the Ravens. So, and then he goes and does what he does at Michigan. And now here we are seeing him on the sidelines Thursday night. But I agree with you. I'd be shocked if any of the veteran starters play a down, other than, Jake Butts, this game, and probably most of them, like Goff and Gibbs. And I wouldn't surprise me if they don't play a down until the last preseason game, because you kind of know what you're getting, but and you obviously don't want to risk injury. But the other piece is it gives you more time to sort out your roster and get to the 53-man roster and really know what you got, because those 53 guys all have to matter. And well, when I think about the job they have, any of these NFL teams is sorting it out and getting down to the 53 players to suit up for game day. What a challenge.
Well, and then the other thing is, as other teams are cutting down, there may be players that they cut that the Lions want.
Exactly.
So a week or two to go in the preseason, and all of a sudden, a team like the Eagles are cutting one of their marginal players, and they're not marginal for anybody else. And they may not be marginal for the Lions. So it could be that the Lions can pick up a player or two that way. One of the things that concerns me is we really haven't signed another edge rusher yet. And I don't know what they're expecting from
Marcus
the draft pick,
Davenport.
if they're going to get one.
I interrupted you there. You were saying what they're expecting from who?
From any of the draft picks.
Okay. Well, there is a buzz around Marcus Davenport. Of course, he was hurt last year and so didn't play enough to really evaluate, but sounds like he's healthy and he's for real. His issue's been injuries. And then you're right, they're a little bit limited at edge rusher. And you're right that players may become available. And in the same way, I'm sure in the Lions, as they whittle down their roster, they're going to have conversations like, okay, guys, if we don't keep this guy, someone picks him up, how are we going to feel about that? And I think that's going to lead to a lot of conversations.
Yeah, I agree. Have you heard anything about Za'Darius Smith?
Only that he wants to be a Lion, and that it may come to, again, it's a business, and it may be the Lions are going to give him plenty of opportunity to get an offer from somewhere else. And if he doesn't get it, they can say, here's what we'll pay you on a 1-year deal. I hope they do. I think that would strengthen that defense.
He did really well last year for the short time he was with the Lions, and I think I wish he would get to camp and learn the defense, and he could turn himself into a rich man if he had a great year this year with the Lions, because then somebody, whether it's the Lions or not, would pay him very well for a couple of years. He's not that old yet, I don't think, but you're right. It is a business, and it'll be interesting to see who they end up with. I know now that they're very good, I wish there was no salary cap, but there is, and everybody has to deal with it.
Yeah, the NFL is a tough business all the way around. You had mentioned, you kind of quipped that Georgia was a professional team. And, every time the Lions have gotten a player from Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State or Michigan, I'm like, yes. Just knowing that what those guys go through to play at that level. This year they
Right.
recruited and one Ohio State and four Georgia. I think it was four, three Georgia and one LSU. And of course they've stacked what four Alabama players the last couple drafts who have all been great. There's another
Right.
buzz, Terrion Arnold, last year rookie from Alabama. A lot of people were down on him because it took a while. He was a lot of penalties early in the year, but he got better and better. But they're saying he's really the real deal. And Then they got DJ Reed in from the Jets as a cornerback that has proven that he's a real deal. They, if their cornerbacks and safeties are all healthy, they could have the best bunch in the NFL in the
Oh, they
secondary.
already have the best pair of safeties, I think.
Yep. Well, they could have, I mean, there's a lot of great corners, but as a pair of corners, really good ones, Amik Robertson, a good one, and then everyone's buzzing about Ennis Rakestraw. Last year, rookie from Missouri, but he was hurt most of the year.
Well, that's the other thing is you could say he was hurt most of the year about too many of the line defenders.
Right.
That's part of the luck of the draw. That's part of having a 17-game season. That's part of playing games on Thursday after playing on Sunday. All of those things tend to result in more injuries, not just for the Lions, but for every team. So I think in order to win a Super Bowl, they're going to have to be good, which they are, and they're going to have to avoid injuries. And especially to key players like Hutchinson or Gibbs or
Penei Sewell,
Goff.
I mean, he's a linchpin.
Right. Well, John, this has been fun. Hopefully, we'll have some more fun things to talk about next week. It seems like we could talk for an hour about the Lions, but we don't want to overdo it on our first podcast. So, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I actually do, just a couple briefly. You know, I think we were talking earlier about the two coordinators being gone and being replaced, but I think they got some secret weapons on that coaching staff. Hank Fraley is the line coach. Everybody raves about him. He might be the best offensive line coach in the NFL. Scotty Montgomery with the receivers, huge respect. And you know, the Lions got great weapons and they seem to have a great receivers coach. So I think those are big pluses. And one more plus, Bill, is just the number of young players from the last, let's say the last four drafts since Holmes and Campbell have been drafting, that, you know, they're all a year older and they're all going to be better. And then they got the new guys, the new rookies class to fit in. So I just think there's a lot of bright spots right now for the Detroit Lions. So I'm very on board that this is a Super Bowl team, and whether it manifests this year or next year, I see it coming. And I'm it's not lost. I mean, there's only one out of 32 teams. It is not
Right.
easy. In fact, Bill, how many times do I say to you, I don't know how any team ever wins an NFL game? It's
That's
so
right.
hard to win games in the NFL.
Well, the other thing is, as we've watched the games, I said, man, if I got hit like that once, there'd be a funeral.
Yeah, in your 20s.
Right, right,
Yeah, right.
right. Well, John, it should be fun. It's going to be an exciting year. I'm looking forward to all of it. And we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, sounds good, Bill. Appreciate it.